All right. I thought I was getting an electric shock or something. I'm Ron. I'm here, and I'm glad you're all here. I'm a person in recovery, and it was alcoholism that brought me here. Lately I get on this kick where I get away from labels, whatever. It's just in my head. I'm an alcoholic through and through. Every cell in my body, down on my little toe, is what I believe. Now, I didn't always believe that, but I believe that now. And so with that, for me, brings certain truths. One of them is I shouldn't drink. Yeah. As a matter of fact, not only shouldn't drink, I don't really even for myself have the right to drink, or I don't have the right to roll over people that I care about, or even face society under the influence. That's just my belief. And what you hear out of me is just my story, my opinions, and they're personal to me. There is a phrase that and it's part of the AA program. They say what we talk about is what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now in a general way. So I try to kind of stick to that the best I can. And the first thing I had to figure out was, for me, was what was it? And I've come to understand for myself that it is life for me. I didn't do life well. I had, from the outside looking in, I was fine, but I was imploding. And there could be, I mean, you can look into all, yeah, there's all kinds of reasons. People delve into childhood, they can, journal their ass off looking for why, And for me, it's just, I've just come to accept that's how it was. I wasn't well. And then I couldn't figure out, if the drinking made me unwell or just being not right made me drink more. And after a while in Alcoholics Anonymous and recovery, I just discovered the answer was yes. It was all interrelated and all part of each other. And so I did a lot of things. There's a lot of things like in this psychiatric role or whatever that I could check off, that probably suited me, fitted me, whatever. I don't know what they call it these days, but it used to be manic depressive or whatever. That was something that kind of fit me. I'd be really down. Then I'd get into something where nothing else mattered, and I'd do it till I was just sick of doing it, not finish projects, not do stuff like a half done kitchen, because I just get sick of it, wouldn't want to do it anymore. And so there's all kinds of things about me that were kind of off. And when I came, when I got to, before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was in the psychiatric hospital for the third time. And each time I went in there, I really had lost the will to live, the desire. I just thought things would just be better off if I wasn't around. And they stuck. Put me in a hospital for a while, put me on some medications till they made sure I wasn't going to hurt myself or anybody else, and send you on your way, and see how you can fit in there, get yourself a good shrink or whatever, and then never addressing alcohol or any of that stuff, and before you know it, I was taking my psych meds with a glass of beer, nothing was changing. Well, the third time around, that was happening again. I remember a little bit more clearly because sometimes chronologically, I'm kind of a mess and don't know what happened when. I remember my wife coming to visit me in the hospital, and We had a meeting with a psychiatrist, kind of family thing, and she was there. And a guy looked at me and said, do you want to kill yourself? Are you suicidal? And I said, no, not really. I said, but if a piano fell on my head, I wouldn't give a shit. And I'm sitting there with my wife of many, many years, next to me, not thinking how a response like that would affect her, at all. I was just mocus, and they let me out of there. And so I started going to the what they call partial hospital, which is a day program. A lot of people are familiar with day programs. You show up in the morning, you do the little treatment stuff, and then they ship you home at night, or you go home at night. So it was kind of a this whole thing is like a big cycle. I've already done this twice before. This is like my third time through, and it was 14 years ago. And one of the counselors gave me, took me aside, gave, said, handed me a meeting schedule, which we had in print here around this area, and said, there's a meeting right near your house. So we took the time to figure out where I lived and where the meetings were. And I said, oh, that's nice. I had no idea what AA was, like none, zero. I went, they were, I knew they were trying to help me, and I went to that first meeting, and for me, not for anybody or anything, just my perspective. For me, it was like a disaster. It happened to be in a very building that I went to grammar school with the nuns, and same building. And I walk in, there's God all over the walls, and people were smiling, and I found that kind of foreign. I just didn't gravitate toward that at all. And at the end of the meeting, they stood up, they held hands, and they said a prayer. Aha, that's who these people are. They're nuts. They're fanatics. And I went out the door, and I went to the liquor store, grabbed a beer or two, and so now I know what that's about. I found myself at another one about 4 days later. And I started going. That was a little different. It was in a different place, but it wasn't same kind of people, same everything. It was just me, it was just how I perceived things and my perspective and stuff. But this one, they had all the tables connected in a big circle, and they went around, and everybody introduced themselves, and every damn person was saying their name and saying that they were alcoholic. It came my turn, and I sure didn't want to stand out. I sure didn't want to be different from the people around me. So I said, I'm Ron. I'm alcoholic. And that came out, which is fine. It's probably the first truth that came out of my mouth in a long time. And, real truth about myself. So thus began my journey. Probably a few weeks after that, a day came, I didn't have a drink. There had been a few, but it was all around the holiday season. It was all around this time of year. And in that year, I was the Grinch that stole Christmas, because my wife used to have her relatives over for Christmas Eve, carrying out a tradition since her mom had passed. She took it over. She canceled it. Ron's in this delicate way or whatever. And so she canceled Christmas. On my account, and I felt terrible, and so I didn't feel that great about myself. So anyway, that's what it was like, what happened. So I started going to those meetings, and I have to say I was a willing participant, but it didn't appear that way all the time. And I sure did my share of complaining. I mean, I at that time I had I did the suggested things that they said. I got a spot. I did get a sponsor. I was going to 90 meetings in 90 days, and all this stuff that they had. I didn't, however, get down on my knees. I didn't do that. And but the sponsor thing was kind of a humbling experience, for me to, to ask another man for help, was I thought quit, not drinking. I wasn't even had the idea I was going to quit drinking. I just wanted things to be okay. But to ask another man for help was, I would have used the word at the time, humiliating. But now I would probably see it more as a humbling experience. And so there are certain things that happen. I became a lot more tolerant of the God talk and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, at the meetings around here, they'd always have, they always find ways to raise a few dollars to pay rent and whatever, have books. So they'd have raffle tickets for a buck or something. And at the end of the meeting, they would raffle off a book, one of their AA books, or they have a little framed serenity prayer. So when you're a newcomer, you always win. I think it's rigged, So the newcomers always won. And so in the trunk of my car, I probably had five, six serenity prayers. All these things. That was kind of funny. And but and in some way, well, I need a serenity prayer. I said, come here, I got a hand over the trunk of a serenity prayer, and serenity prayer. And it was kind of funny. But in that fellowship, there were a few folks that it wasn't how they said things to be or whatever. They acted it. They acted how a human being can act. They treated people with respect. They helped people when they needed help. Wasn't everybody, but there were some. And it was extremely noticeable. And that kind of shit starts to rub off, after a while. So what happened was I started to become sober. And, the last part is, what am I like now? What is it like now? Well, it is, okay. I'm quite a bit older. I notice it seems that each year is kind of exponential on the aging process. I'm not sure why that is, but it's okay. I'm still married to the same woman, even though she's been married to five different people, all of them me, because I've been different people at different times. I've certainly had different personalities and different stuff, but she stuck, she stuck it out. She has a very true nature about her and a very loyal nature, and I'm very, very fortunate. And my kids, when I was in the hospital, my kids were last time. My kids were young adults; they were in their 20s. And my oldest son was having some problems of his own. He was living in the basement in this house with a stack of empties in the corner. No job. But go with this. This kid's killing me, that kind of thing. And now he's productive. He works for one of the local colleges. He helps build things for me. It's a very old college, so they not old like English and Irish old, but we're around here. And so he helps restore stuff and as a partner, my youngest boy got married. We all got to go to the Rocky Mountains, which I'm wearing a shirt, and he got married up in the Rockies in a meadow in the mountains. It was absolutely beautiful and spectacular. And guess what? They wanted me there, and that's always a beautiful thing. And now I have Cheryl and I have our first child, expecting our first grandchild. And that's a wonderful thing, too. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they live next door. My son married the all-American girl who lives next door. That's pretty neat. So like some stuff goes on, it wasn't that all this shit that all these people got better, life. I got better by some degree. And a lot of times I can't see it, And I'll just, I'll say this. I've always had a home group, that met every day, right from the beginning. And I liked it a lot better because people could see the ebb and flow of you. You could see the ebb and flow of other folks, in recovery. And people can see that of you. The people meetings and meet once a week are fine. Whatever people, this is just for me. It's, how it worked and how it, I liked it in my recovery. The weekly meetings were fine, just that it was easy to put on a mask and yeah, I'm good. Okay. But it was hotter with the everyday meeting when people see you more often and took away that mask. So there's a friend of mine who was new. I mean, when I was new, he has since passed on. He moved to Florida. He was quite a bit older than me. And he used to say something when he ended. And I borrowed it from him. And he would say, you know something? He looked at everybody. It's all your fault. It's your fault that I am sober today. So I blame you guys. And so it's, I'm glad you guys are here. And it truly is a world fellowship, isn't it? This is pretty cool. So thank you guys for being around. And thanks, Jen, for asking me. It's an honor and privilege when somebody in recovery asks you to do something. So I appreciate that very much. Thanks.